On Wednesday night, the story of Jesus walking on the water. I encourage you, if you were not here, to go back and get a copy of that message. We preached on the wind was contrary. Whenever God's told you to go a certain place and you're going that direction, and a strong contrary wind hits you right in the face and tries to slow you down. We preached on that Wednesday night. I encourage you to go back and get it. We've come now to Matthew chapter 15. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. The parallel passage of these verses, this is verses 1 to 20 here, but the parallel passage is Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 23, just in case you're keeping notes throughout this series that we're preaching on. Matthew 15, 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Now if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the two words in verse 3. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the two words, "He answered." He answered. We preach to you on that subject this morning. Father, we love you. May the will of God be done here. Speak to us, I pray, especially if somebody is here who does not know you as Savior. May you speak to that heart, draw them to yourself, save them this day. Help us now to get help from above, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we come to this chapter, we're reminded of what has just taken place. The Lord has been performing some mighty miracles. As a matter of fact, in chapter 14, we see him feed over 5,000 with a little child's lunch. And in that same chapter, he walked on water during a major storm upon the sea. He was proving over and over again who he is. See, Jesus is not just a man. He's the Son of the living God. He's the God-man. He's the Savior of the entire world. And while there were those who placed their faith and trust in Him as Savior, we see in these verses here, verses 1 to 20, that there were others who did not want anything to do with Him. Among these were these people identified in verse 1 of our text as scribes and Pharisees who came to Him from Jerusalem to find fault among He and His disciples. Now, these ungodly people were trying to break down the Lord's influence among the common people. And as they came to the Lord, the Word of God tells us that they asked Him a question. They asked Him and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat bread." Now this was a ceremonial cleansing that these Pharisees and scribes were referring to. They put great emphasis on body washings, if you will, for one's personal purity before God. Now as a side note before I get to the meat of the message, I want to say it's interesting here that this was the only thing that they could find to criticize about these disciples. And may I say this to you, let us live in such a way that the world cannot find any justified criticism. I mean, it's interesting to me that of all the things that they were probably looking for, the only thing they could find is they're eating with dirty hands. Now we can learn a great lesson right there by means of introduction. Let us live a good, godly life even in front of the unsaved generation. And let them see a true Christian that even if they deny the Word of God, the only criticism they have is something ridiculous like, "You're not washing your hands before you eat supper." It's crazy. Now when these people asked the Lord Jesus this question, notice in verse number 3, the Bible says He answered. Now anytime the Lord Jesus opened His blessed mouth, He was giving eternal truth. It's no different in these verses. It is this answer throughout these verses, verses 1 to 20. I mean, a majority of these verses, Jesus is answering these questions. And I want to look at this answer and bring out three things about it. Number one, we notice He answered, first of all, with an accusation. Now look at verse 1 and following. I've already read this, but we're going to read it again with continuing here. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" A good thing to do here would be to circle tradition of the elders and circle the commandment of God and connect them, because that's what's being contrasted here. Verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now when you read that, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? What he's doing here is they have falsely accused him and his disciples of not washing their hands to be pure before God. So he answered with an accusation of his own, and he's accusing them of the real problem. See, these scribes and Pharisees were accusing the disciples of breaking the tradition of the elders. However, the Lord answered this question by accusing them of breaking the commandment of God. He showed them how God had commanded them to honor your father and mother. But they had a tradition made by man that they put above this command of God. Here's what they would say. The parallel account in Mark, he used the word korban. In other words, whenever your parents have a need, but by your tradition, you would say korban. It's a gift. Here's what they meant. In other words, according to these passages right here, they would say by their tradition that what God had given them, God wanted them to take care of their parents with it as much as they could. But what they were doing here is they would say it is korban, it is a gift. In other words, they would say, I have dedicated everything I have to God. And because it's dedicated to God, I don't have to take care of my mom and daddy anymore. This is what it's meant here. Now stay with me here. Let me say right here also that anybody whose heart is right with God will honor and respect their mom and their daddy. Amen. You show me somebody who dishonors their mama and daddy, and I show you somebody who disrespects and dishonors God himself. The idea here is that they were teaching that when a child had the means to care for his parents, but he instead would say, it all belongs to God, he would somehow be free from obeying God's command in his holy word. John R. Rice put it this way: from that time on, he would never give a penny to the support of his father and mother, though they were in poverty and old or reduced to begging. Yet the Pharisees counted such a man a fine, religious man. He might only give to the temple treasury the tithes and such offerings as others were commanded to bring. Yet he was counted to have fulfilled his entire duty to his father and mother by dedicating it completely to God, whether God got use of it or not. In other words, the bottom line was this: they were counting man's word more important than God's. They were putting their man-made tradition above the word and will of God. They were twisting God's word and rearranging God's word to make it pleasing to them. In other words, here they come and say, why do your disciples transgress the commandments of man? They don't even wash their hands, which our fathers have taught us to do, because the outside can cleanse the inside. He comes back and says, why do you all break the commandment of God? Said, God told you to honor your mom and daddy, but in your man-made tradition, you've made a loophole. You have said all you got to do is say, I know I've got money to help my mom and daddy. I know I've got the means to help my mom and daddy, but I've dedicated it all to God. It's all His, and because it's His, I don't have to take care of them anymore. Do you understand what he's saying here? He is accusing them. It's like the bank robbers that Dr. Criswell spoke about, who killed a bank president, stole a large sum of money, and made their getaway. And when they had gone a safe distance, they stopped in a roadside restaurant to eat. And in the middle of the meal, one of the murderers had a prick of conscience hit him. He took his plate and pushed it back and said in horror, look, this is Friday and we're eating meat. In other words, he had a conviction about eating meat on Fridays. But here he is, he thought nothing that a man had been killed and he was part of it. And he thought nothing that a bank had been robbed. In other words, he broke two of God's commands, but he was more concerned about not eating meat on Fridays. Kind of comical, I know that, but do you understand that that teaching is still alive and well today, friends? Do you understand that the Word of God is being bypassed because man said to do that, and man said not to do that, man said not to do this, and people are elevating man's Word above the very Word of God? This is the accusation that he's giving. It's always wrong to take our tradition as authority. Always. God's Word is to be first and final authority. Along with this, these Pharisees were teaching, and they thought that cleaning the outside, these ceremonial cleansings of washing the hands before you eat and all that, that was all that was needed to earn favor with God. They taught that what one ate or drank determined his holiness before the Lord. Are you listening to me? Man cannot be righteous in the sight of God through outward works, friends. This is what they were teaching. They were teaching that because these disciples were not washing their hands before they ate, that they were unclean before God. They were not pure before God. They were bypassing the blood of Jesus Christ and trying to elevate man's works here. And I'm telling you that outward religious works can accompany an unconverted heart, friends. They were more concerned with human opinion, and outward conformity than the truth and reality of God's Word. To all of this, notice what the Lord called them. Look at verse number 7. He said, ye hypocrites. You listening to me? I'm not sure how long the Lord would last as a pastor in America. By the way, we ought to be sweet, we ought to be kind, we ought to be Christ-like. Amen. But he did not sugarcoat anything, friends. He looked at these people, now he loved them, but he looked at them and he said, because you are elevating man's word that God didn't even say, and you are putting it above the very Word of God, and you are uplifting man's works to the holiness of Jesus Christ. He said, you're nothing more than a bunch of hypocrites. And he said, what you do is you draw nigh unto me with your mouth, and you honoreth me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. He was showing them that a religious showing does not indicate spiritual worship. See, they thought they were worshiping God by cleaning the outside. Why else would he say in verse number 9, but in vain they do worship me. They thought that by doing this, they were worshiping God. God was telling them, and Jesus was telling them, that genuine worship is always grounded in the truth of God's Word. A religious showing does not indicate spiritual worship. You know what the word hypocrite means? It means an actor. It means somebody who's wearing a mask. That's what it means. It means somebody, when you look at them, they look a certain way, but the real person is underneath. They're concealing who they really are. In other words, they were actors wearing a mask, putting so much emphasis on man's tradition while turning a deaf ear to the Word of the living God. They were deceived by their own acts and their own traditions. They thought they were worshiping the Lord, but God said in verse number 9, Jesus said, but in vain do they worship me. You know what that word vain means? It means emptiness. It means their worship doesn't mean a thing. That's what it means. And I'm telling you that Jesus said, all of this false worship, all of this worship of clean the hands and the heart is clean, clean the outside and the interior is right. He's saying that is nothing more than a bunch of hypocrisy. And that is something that is man-made tradition. And that's not worshiping God at all. It is empty worship. And he's saying this. He's saying the reason it's empty worship. Look at verse number 9. You are teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What's doctrine? Beliefs and teachings. Where are we to get doctrine? The Word of God, friends. And he's saying your worship is empty. It is vain because you are teaching man-made tradition that it is doctrine. I'm telling you, what an accusation the Lord's giving them here. Today, this same teaching is prevalent. And what I'm talking about is this. Any teaching that says the Lord Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven is the same thing the Lord is dealing with right here. Any teaching that says salvation is Jesus plus or minus anything is right here in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. There are people around the world today who try to teach other people that it's tradition of man that'll get you to heaven. You join the church, you'll earn favor with God, he'll let you into heaven. Show that to me in the Bible. Amen, friends. I'll tell you what you need to do. You just need to turn over a new leaf. You just need to do the very best you can. You just need to try to live life to the fullest. You just need to try to be the very best person you can and make sure your good works outweigh your bad works, and God will let you into heaven. Show that to me in the Bible, and I'll eat it. It's not in there. You know what it is? It is hypocrisy. It is Pharisaical teaching. And even some of these people who teach that, are you listening? They honestly believe sometimes what they're saying. But Jesus comes along and he loves these people. You want me to tell you how I know he loves them? Because he gave them the truth. That's how I know he loves them. And he said, you're teaching a false doctrine. You are teaching that this tradition of man, just like washing the hands, you are teaching that that is what cleanses people. And I'm telling you that that is not true. That's what he's saying. Number one, he answered with an accusation. Friends, listen to me. Don't fall prey to the deception of your own heart. You do not know more than God. God knows what it takes to get to heaven. Amen. He made it. He created it. He made the way. He knows how to get there. And when man says, it's not what God said in his word. It's what God said, sure, but then it's this over here too. It's that, but it's also the rosary. It's that, it's also baptism. It's that, it's also good works. Listen to me. Hear the word of Jesus. Hear the word of God. They worship me in vain because they are teaching the traditions of man as doctrine. He answered with an accusation. Number two, he answered with an illustration. Look at verse number 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? After they heard this saying, really? Do you think they were offended? He looked at them and said, you're hypocrites. You're wearing a mask. What you believe is cleansing you is damning your soul. He's teaching them this. The disciples come and say, Lord, I'm not sure if you know this, but I don't think your word came across too kind to them, and they're a little upset with you here. Now, how did the Lord respond? Look at verse number 13. But he answered and said, let me take my word back. And let me go and pat him on the head and say, you know, I really didn't mean that. All roads lead home. What did he do? Now, he's not being unkind. He was always meek. He was lowly in spirit. I don't see him being ugly here. He was never ugly. But he did not sacrifice the truth for anybody. Notice how he responded. He gave an illustration. Here's what he said. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What an illustration. He answered with an accusation. He answered with an illustration. See, after the Lord gave this accusation, and the disciples come and say, "Don't you know you offended them?" To this he answered with an illustration. He said this. He said, doctrines are like plants. See, he's talking about the doctrine of men. He's talking about system, belief systems here. So the plant here is like a doctrine, the doctrine of men. And he said, let me give you an illustration. He said, every plant that's out there was not planted by my Father. But he said, I'm going to tell you something about these plants that were not planted by my Father. They will be rooted up. They will be pulled out by the roots. They won't last, is what he's saying. Then he says, let me give you another illustration on top of this. These teachers that teach this, these Pharisees, these scribes that put so much emphasis on man's word and belittle God's word, they're unconverted. They think the outward acts is what God looks at. That teaching, they are blind people. And everybody they teach are blind too. And he said that teaching is like a blind person leading other blind people and say, let me show you this. Not trying to be funny, friends. Not trying to be inappropriate, but he's saying this. He's saying they can't see themselves, but they're trying to tell other people what they need to see. He said they're blind and they're leading other people who are blind, and because they're both blind and following their leaders who are teaching false doctrine, he said they're headed towards a ditch and they will both fall in because they neither one can see. I'm telling you. He's simply saying this. God's truth is under attack, men. And he's saying it will be rooted up someday. And this teaching is not helping people, it's injuring them. And those who follow it, they are to be opposed. And they are to be avoided. He's simply saying a teaching like this is sure destruction. People like this will fall into a ditch. People like this will fall and they'll take other people with them. These people were on a slippery road to hell and they were taking others with them. He was not going to sugarcoat this truth, is what he's trying to say. He was exposing them and wanted others to know it. Now, before we get to the last point, see the Lord here. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. He knows the truth. He is the truth. And here are these Pharisees and scribes who come right along beside of Him and they contradict everything He says. They say, oh yes, I know God said that, but our tradition here says this, so we're going to take our tradition above God's Word. God says internal, we say external, and that's what we're going to put the focus on. You make sure you're clean on the outside, God will be satisfied. God will be pleased. God will be just so enamored with how clean you are on the outside that He will say, oh, let him in. He smells good. Jesus comes to him and says, your tradition, your teaching is doctrine. You are hypocrites. You have a mask on. You are blind and you are leading other people in blindness and you are sending people to hell. His disciples come and say, you offended them. He knew the heart of man, friends. He is not the friend of lies. He loves people. He wants to save people and he saves them by giving them the truth. But this doctrine of man, these doctrines of traditions, was coming along and saying, it's not his truth, it's my truth, it's my daddy's truth, my granddaddy's truth. And he's saying this, every system that my father does not plant, he will pull it up by the roots one of these days. And everybody who teaches somebody a different way of salvation than the Bible way, they are blind. And they are leading other blind people to certain destruction. You listening to me? Glory, we've got the truth this morning. Aren't you glad you've got the truth? Let's get it around the world. People need to hear the truth of the Word of God. He answered with an illustration. But then number three, he answered with an explanation. He answered with an accusation, illustration, now an explanation. He begins to explain what he's saying in all of this. Look at verse number 10. And he called the multitude and said unto him, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. And he goes on, look at verse number 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, that defileth not a man. Now he explains what he's trying to get across here. See, after dealing with these scribes and Pharisees by exposing their sinful act of putting man's tradition above God's word, he explained this to the multitude, then he turned and explained it to Peter and explained it to his other disciples. Notice how he showed them that the things that enter the mouth, such as food, does not defile a person before God. By the way, some people try to make the emphasis right there. Well, I can just eat anything I want to eat. I can just do anything I want to do. I'll just kind of, God said, you listen to me, that's not the emphasis of the Word of God here. He's saying what goes into the mouth does not defile you before God. Here's what he's saying. Stay with me here. In other words, we do need to be careful what we eat. Like that quarter pounder I had yesterday, that probably wasn't the great thing that, you know, the best decision I made. But it was a good one. I'm telling you, I mean, it went down great. I've learned a lesson. I tell people, don't tell my wife about this, so I just go ahead and announce it because I know somehow, some way, she has an antenna. And she finds out about it anyway. That quarter pounder was great. Those fries were good. And that Coke and the Dr. Pepper along with it was tremendous. What is God saying here, though? I'm being facetious. He explained how foods we eat enter the belly and eventually is cast out. Boy, that's deep teaching, isn't it? You think the Lord might have been simple? He's saying, listen, what you put in the mouth goes into the belly, and you know the rest of the story. And he went on to say this. He said those foods are not what defile a person before God. He's saying, but rather the things that come out of the heart, that's what defiles a man. He explained how the foods we eat enter the belly, eventually cast out, but the heart is wicked and brings forth wickedness, such as the list he gave. By the way, it's only for the grace of God. Verse number 19, look at it please. That's in every one of our hearts. You cannot trust your heart. This is what he's teaching. Somebody's well said this, what is in the well of the heart will come up in the bucket of the mouth sooner or later. As doctors can often look at one's tongue and learn of diseases that are deeper, it's the same way spiritually. How's your heart? How's your language? How do you talk? What comes out of your mouth? He was teaching here that sin doesn't come from the environment. Oh, my environment's the way I am. He was saying, sin doesn't come from your surroundings.
Sin doesn't come from your environment. It doesn't come from culture. It doesn't come from others, but it comes from within. It is the heart. He's teaching here. Remember how he's talking about, they're talking about the ceremonial cleansing of the body, the outside and all that. I'm talking about to be pure before God. He's saying this, man doesn't need a change on the outside. Man needs a heart transplant. That's what he's saying. He's saying the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's what he's talking about. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, the Bible says. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. All religious activity, get it, is useless without a new heart. A man put it this way, the Pharisees taught that holiness depended on meats and drinks and on bodily washings and purifications. They held that all who observed their traditions on these matters were pure and clean in God's sight, and that all who neglected them were impure and unclean. The emphasis was outside, 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 outside. Our Lord overthrew this miserable doctrine by showing his disciples that the real fountain of all defilement was not without the man, but within. It's the heart. External religion says, be clean physically and morally. Internal redemption says, be born again and made into a new creature. External religion says, a clean exterior makes a clean interior. Internal redemption says, when the inside gets clean, it'll automatically clean up the outside. External religion says you must develop some rules to govern your behavior. Internal redemption says I love God and therefore I will live right. External religion says be faithful to your church, its practices, and its teaching, and you will be clean. Internal redemption says be cleansed by Jesus, and you will be faithful to your church, its practices, and its teaching. External religion is a man-made system of ritual, ceremony, law, and work. Internal redemption is a work of God in the heart that produces a new creature. In a gathering like this one on one occasion in Boston, it was called, well, not like this one, but I'm saying, but a crowd like this, if you will. It was called the Ecumenical Council of Religions. In other words, every known religion was there for this meeting. By the way, if that ever comes to town, don't even ask. We're not going. Amen. There was a man there, and he stood to his feet with all those religions that had gathered. He had a woman beside him in that particular occasion, and he said this, and I quote, he said, this woman stands here with me, and she has great stains of sin on her hands. She has the stains of murder. She'd killed somebody. Turning and addressing each company, he said, can any of your cults or religions in their truths and in their doctrines and in their beliefs give this woman any hope? Can you imagine? All these religions, all these cults, all these beliefs, all these traditional systems sitting there. He picks up a lady right here. Well, he doesn't pick her up, whatever the case may be. She's standing there. And he says, this lady is a murderer. And she's guilty. She needs hope and she needs peace. Is there any religion here that can offer her hope? The story says that the Eastern cults looked at the Western religions and with their mouths shut, and they couldn't say anything. Just looked at each other. When all of a sudden the man who was doing this, he looked up to heaven and said, wait a minute. Listen. Hold on. Hush, I hear a voice. It's John the Apostle. And he's saying, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'd like to have been there to see the look on their faces. The Eastern religion looks at the Western religion and they have no hope. She's a murderer. She's an outcast. Nothing she can do now is good enough for God. So they just look at each other. Can't you see that dear man of God saying, wait a minute, I hear a voice. Can't you just see him looking, I don't hear anything. What's this guy talking about? I hear a voice. It's John the Apostle. And he's saying, the blood of the Son of God cleanses from all sin. What am I saying? There is no religious tradition or activity that can save you from your sins. Not one. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It is Christ and Christ alone. Question. How's your heart this morning? I'm not asking, are you clean? Did you wash before you came to church today? Did you go and wash your hands? Are you clean on the outside? That's Pharisees. The Lord says, forget about your hands. How's your heart? This is the message. How is your heart? All here today, are you listening to me? Everybody here today is religious. In some point or another, because you're here. You're not still in the bed. You're not out on a boat fishing, something like that. You're at least religious. Are you listening to me? So were the Pharisees. So were the scribes. The question is not, are you religious? The question is, are you redeemed? Are you born again? 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. God and God alone is the only one that can save our soul. And as we conclude, in these verses we see the Lord answering questions. He accused the unbelievers of putting their own traditions above God's word. He illustrated how that teaching is going to be rooted up and only leads people to certain destruction. And he explained the real need is not a washing of the hands, but a heart change and a change of the heart. And when somebody has a new heart, it'll tell on him just like the old heart tells on them. So I ask you, how's your heart? And if you've been saved, if you've been redeemed, if you've been bought back, if you've been born again, God has given us a great work to do. And that's to take this truth around our area and around the world and calling it like it is. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness. Help us, I beg. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you this question, how's your heart? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? I'm not asking what kind of a life are you living. I'm not asking, have you kept that commandment? Or are you doing that? Have you joined the church? Have you been baptized? Are you doing the best you can? No, I'm asking, do you really know that heaven is your home? Hear the voice of Jesus. These Pharisees thought they were worshiping God, and he said, your worship is vain, your worship is empty. Because you're teaching the traditions of man as doctrine. That teaching will be rooted up, and that teaching will clearly be destroyed. Let's put the emphasis where God puts it. And that's not on the outward man, that's on the inner man. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is there one today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. And by the way, everybody who can raise their hand saying, I know I'm saved, there was a day when they were lost. There was a day when I was lost. And every Christian whose heart's right with God will rejoice with anybody who wants to be saved today. Is there one today say, Jody, I need a heart transplant. I need a new heart. God is speaking to me. I don't want to die without Christ and go to hell. The Lord is speaking to my heart and I want to say yes. I want to be saved. Is there one like that? Say, Jody, pray for me. I need to make that decision. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Anybody? Anybody around the auditorium? My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. Anybody say, Jody, I'm concerned I'm lost. I need to be saved. Now, let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I know somebody who's lost. I know somebody who's not saved. You're not trying to be a judge, but you just know about this person and you're concerned for their salvation. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You're concerned about them? Yes. That's a lot of hands. A lot of hands. If you raise your hand at that, I want you to lower it. I want you to look at me just a moment because you're not raising it for yourself. You're raising it for somebody else. So I'm comfortable with you looking at me right now if you know somebody like this. Every message that's preached has a purpose. The direct interpretation, I gave it to you, he's teaching that there's one way to heaven. But how does this apply to you where you are? How are you going to use this message? Well, I'm already saved. What are you talking? I'm asking this. Does that friend, that family member, that one that you're looking at me right now for, do they know the truth? If you've given it to them, great. Give it to them again. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, there's going to be a Pharisee knock on their door one of these days and say, oh, let me show you this from our watchtower. Let me show you this from our Book of Mormon. You say you're calling it out. You got it. Jesus did. I am too. It's time we see the importance of this. Teachings contrary to the Bible send people to hell. We have the truth. Let's get it out. Use it to get the truth to people. You can bow with me there. Father, take it. Use it in a great way. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all those who are being baptized quickly, if you wouldn't mind to do that. We have a couple being baptized, two today. We'll make preparation for that. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to take the service at this time.
One stanza, just as I am, God speaking to your heart, you come. You need to pray for a lost loved one. You're lost yourself. You come as we sing. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. You may be seated.
Have the offering and then the baptismal service. Cadet for Christ workers meeting tonight right after the service. Tri-City School of the Bible, that is ongoing. You can still sign up for that. Ladies retreat, if you failed to sign it by last Sunday, we do have a couple of rooms left. See my wife today about that. Our big announcement is our Faith Promise Missions Conference, our offering starting on September the 12th, and our Faith Promise Missions Conference every night during that time. And then really there are two major things occurring in that time. One of those will be Faith Promise Sunday. It's not an actual offering, but it's when we as believers, as church members, seek the will of God about what He would have us do for missions for the next year. We have upwards of 95, 96 missionaries around the world that depend on us for their support to stay on the field. And then there are also great mission projects that come along. There are also new missionaries. And we as a church need to support these folks. And I encourage you, as a church member, you should be praying right now, Lord, what would you have me do for missions for the next year? And we'll be taking care of that on Faith Promise Sunday. We'll have a card you will sign or put the amount on. We're not going to come to you and beg for that. That's between you and the Lord. But it helps us to know so we can plan for our coming or our giving for the next year to missions. And then finally, we are taking another offering, and this is an actual offering on September the 16th. And that is for the planting of churches in the cities, in two cities in Chile. Jim, if you want to show that now. And this is a picture of the city of Valparaiso. And you can see that hillside and see home upon home upon home. Around 1 million people, no gospel witness in that place. You say, where is Chile? We're going to show you. There it is. Some of you don't know, there's South America, Chile. There's the two cities. And Pastor has been emphasizing for 17 cents, if you want to show the next one, Jim, 17 cents we can reach one home. And when he talked about that last week, I said, Pastor, we've got to take that out further and show people what their money is going to do. I mean, for $1, you can put the gospel in six homes. Everybody can give a dollar. For $10, 60 homes, $25, 150 homes, $50, 300 homes, $100. Just think, most of us can give $100. You can put the gospel in 600 homes. Isn't that amazing? $500, 3,000 homes. The question, how many homes will you help to reach? That offering will be taken, a specific offering, on September the 16th. Thank you, Jim. Gentlemen, you come. Let's receive our offering this morning. You be praying about God would have you to do for these special offerings. We hope you understand the two separate offerings. Don't get those confused. All right. Brother Hayes, sir, would you please pray?
Today, and we need to vote on first, if that'd be great. We have Tanner Watson and Ashley Fry. Both of them have been dealt with, trusted Christ as their Savior, and they want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Remind everybody here, there's no saving power in this water. This is just a symbol, and so praise the Lord for it. But what's the pleasure of the church that we receive both of these into the membership of the church upon their baptism? Could I get a motion on that, Brother Mark? Shannon, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. So carried. All right. Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. This is Tanner Watson. He's my buddy. He's trusted Christ as his Savior. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. It's been done as the Lord Jesus Christ has clearly commanded, and all God's people said, let's all stand, please. I invite you to be back in your place tonight, 6:30 service. That will be great. All right, I'm going to ask Brother Butch Abbott, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in a moment.